is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Sunday. Welcome in VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson alongside Will Hill. We've got you covered for the next 3 hours here as we've got all the live betting action going on. We've got tennis, college baseball, the NBA Finals Game 2. But first, we do have to get into some Major League Baseball as a few games about to start. As we begin the show, Will, let's look at the very first game coming up here in just a couple of minutes. It's the Braves of Atlanta on the road against the San Francisco Giants, where nothing has gone right for Atlanta of late, Will. They've been struggling. I, full disclosure, was buying in when Acuna came back, and they're minus 120 on the road in San Francisco. San Francisco is about even money right now at most shops. Over under 8 runs scored. Braves have lost 6 in a row. They're 22-1 to win the East right now. 13 back in the wild card. San Francisco, 4-game win streak, and it's Spencer Strider on the bump taking on Landon Rope. Rope's been really solid. Strider, third start off the IL, a 6.43 ERA since his return. His fastball, he's using a lot, and he's getting some misses there. But overall, he is not the Spencer Strider we've seen before. Are you surprised at the pricing that Spencer Strider's a road favorite with the way the Braves have been scuffling, and he's laying $1.32 on the road today?
Always good to be with you, by the way. Always fun doing these shows. Slightly surprised. He still does have that name value. The Braves still have that name value. There's always two ways to look at the streak, where you're just going to play against it, or you're obviously going to have those people say, oh, he's due. Maybe this is a spot for him to bounce back because it's a pitcher's ballpark. A lot of his struggles, if you look at his splits, come against left-handed pitching, or left-handed hitting, which have really given him a hard time. Not a ton of left-handed power, left-handed presence in that Giants lineup. It's a lot of Flores and Chapman. It's a more right-handed heavy lineup. So maybe this is a spot where he can get back on track. I would probably look at a first five under, if anything. I hate doing the full game unders because I want to avoid the bullpens. The Braves bullpen has been a disaster. Yeah. I want to avoid the ghost runner, the bullpens. First five under, if anything, if I had to bet it, I think I would take the Braves. But I believe I saw the stat. They've lost every game in June, and they've lost every game in June by exactly one run. They're finding new ways to lose games. They're inventing new ways to lose games. The Thursday game where they give a touchdown with the extra point when they were up 6 in the ninth was unbelievable. And I feel like every day I do these shows, like, man, big game for the Braves. You don't want to be 6 under. You don't want to be 7 under. You want to be – I mean, it just – you come to a point where I know the season is long, but the season is not eternal. We did see last year the Mets just completely out of nowhere make a run after being a laughingstock the first couple months and get two wins away from a World Series. We saw Detroit make a crazy run and almost get to an ALCS, so it does happen. But you're putting yourself in a position, if you're the Braves, where you're not running out of time, but unless you win – at some point, 12 out of 14, 11 in a row, 10 in a row, something like that, you're just putting too much space between these other teams and where you are now. So under, if anything, for me in the first five, is this anything you bet, anything you're looking at?
Yeah, look, I laid a heavy price on a prop, and I don't normally like to do that here. It's just on the edge for me. I went Spencer Strider under 17.5 outs recorded at minus 148. I'm looking since he came back off the IL, Will. Averaging just 4.7 innings, 22 strikeouts and 27 and a third innings pitched. 4.7 innings per start since coming off the IL. He hasn't been the same pitcher. I don't anticipate him working deep into this game. I think they're nervous with him, and I don't think they'll let him get his pitch count too high, simply because if they are somehow going to salvage this season, a lot of it hinges on the health of Spencer Strider. Him being treated with kid gloves on top of how he's looked to start coming off the injured list, I went under 17.5 outs recorded there. The other 405 Eastern, 105 on the West Coast start coming up here. Orioles at the Athletics in Sacramento. Baltimore minus 123 on the money line. You can get plus 101 on the other side with the Athletics. Rubber game of the set. Baltimore's won 10 of 13. They may have come alive here. Maybe they have a chance of sneaking into that last wild card spot. The A's 2-10, their last 12, 3-23, their last 25. It's a tough handicap with Sugano on the bump. been really good, 3.04 ERA, but just 40 strikeouts and 71 innings pitched, coming off seven innings, one-run ball at Seattle on Tuesday. He has been better on the road, 2.45 road ERA versus 3.67 at home, and he's 15th in Major League Baseball with 82 ground balls. Taking on Jacob Lopez, who's 0-4, 7.20 ERA. Two of three starts, he's allowed seven earned runs and not a lot of innings of work. I did back the Orioles because despite Sugano not being a power pitcher and getting strikeouts, because he gets those ground balls, that could limit some of the damage playing there in that small ballpark in Sacramento. What would you do with this one, Will?
Orioles are nothing, over nothing. I lean both of those. I didn't play it, and I did add a bet in the Braves-Giants. I just took under 3.5. I got to talk like, oh, under 2.5 in the first three, I'm sorry. So three-inning line, first three innings. I've been playing these a lot more. I like these because you avoid turning that lineup over for the second time. It's just in and out. Mostly it's the first time through the lineup where pitchers are better. So Atlanta-San Francisco under 2.5, minus 135 for the first three is a play for me. Orioles are nothing, over nothing. Sugano's been decent. But that's a tough pitcher's ballpark. The A's can hit. The A's can like they played poorly here, but the lineup's not the problem. They've got some bats. You know, we were just talking before the show. Jacob Wilson on pace to get 200 hits as a rookie would be the first one since Ichiro to do that. He's been really, really good. You know, they can swing the bats in that ballpark. It's hard to go under. Baltimore. Speaking of teams that are disappointing and have a lot of ground to make up here. Baltimore now 11 under, but they've won 7 of 10. Can you squint and start to see the remnants of a team that's going to make a run? I know they don't have enough pitching, and they got to get some of these guys back, but it's at least on my mind. Orioles are nothing, over nothing. Didn't bet it, though. Did you bet this, actually?
Yeah, I took the Orioles. I just think it's a spot where one team's trending up, one's trending down. Orioles know what's on the line. They have the major pitching edge in this matchup. Also, their bats are starting to hit a little bit more. And that's been an issue. Dylan Carlson, 3 homers last 14 days. O'Hearn, who's been so steady over his last 2 weeks, hitting .318 with 2 dingers. But the key is Rutschman and Henderson. They're getting going. They're both hitting .381 over their last 5. Rutschman, 2 ding-dongs. Henderson with a homer. Couser, in his last 5, has 2 homers. So it's a spot where everything's coming together. To your point, big picture about Baltimore, we can get into that and the Braves a little bit later because I do think reinforcements are on the way, both within the Orioles system and maybe potentially outside the organization that could catapult them into at least a playoff conversation in the second half of the season. We're going through the late slate here in the Major League Baseball window. This is Live Bet Sunday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Coming up here in a little bit, we've got, about a minute. Mariners at the Angels. This one's moved a lot over the last, 12 hours. George Kirby on the hill for Seattle, minus 129. Angels at home with Tyler Anderson on the hill. He's even money right now. Total's 9.5. This thing opened about 140, 145 I saw last night with Kirby. Dropped down to minus 120. Now we're sitting right around $1.30. So not sure how to do anything with George Kirby at this point because he's clearly not 100% back into his old form. 0-3, 3 starts to start the season on the IL, 8.56 ERA. He is coming off his best performance against Baltimore, but he allowed 8 hits in that performance against the O's. Tyler Anderson for the Angels, Will, has been pretty decent. 3.86 ERA in 12 starts. He is much better at home, 2.34 ERA versus 5.58 away. Do you think about doing anything here? I do have 3 batter props that we can get to in a moment, but what would you do, Mariners at the Angels?
Back and forth on this one. I like Kirby overall. It's a guy I've liked betting on, really talented. He's just been awful since he got back. I don't love Tyler Anderson. I don't want to really play over 9. I was thinking about that. How about just taking a half a run in the first 5? That's another one I've been playing where I like getting this half a run in the first 5. A lot of times, evenly matched game.
Yeah.
It's tied after 5 innings. You win on that half a run. So getting the Angels plus a half a run, laying $1.30 or so, I don't think that's a bad way to play it. But that would be my only play. Angels have swung the bat a little better. Trout's back. Not a great Angels team, but they've been okay the last couple weeks. So Angels plus a half a run in the first 5 would be the only way to attack it. What are you looking at here for props?
Yeah, I went with 3 Seattle props against the lefty on the hill and Anderson, who doesn't have great power stuff. He's a solid pitcher. He's had a couple really good years in a row. Donovan Solano over a half a total bases, minus 133. We're betting on him to get a hit essentially there. And he's a guy for his career. Not good this year against lefties, 148, but last year 302, 286 the year before, 301, 22 and 21, 350. 350 in 2020, 329 in 19. He has made a living off hitting lefties that can't blow it by him. Cal Raleigh, who maybe is in the MVP conversation in the American League, over 1.5 total bases. He's hitting 299 against southpaws, 8 homers, 4 doubles. 12 of his 23 hits against lefties this year are for extra bases, so over 1.5 total bases, minus 113 with him. And then Julio Rodriguez, didn't know if he was going to play, got injured trying to steal third yesterday, getting hit by a ball in the ankle. He's in the lineup, went over 1.5 total bases at minus 121. 6-for-11 lifetime against Tyler Anderson. It's a 545 average with a homer and a double. He sees the ball well off the lefty. I liked him there. All my picks. And, by the way, one play on the Angels. Joe Adell, 3-for-7 with a homer against Kirby. He's hot right now. 619 average over his last 6 games with 4 homers. We went over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs for Joe Adell. All those picks, all Will's picks, available VSiN.com/picks. Because if you want to bet smarter for this baseball season, you got to become a VSiN Pro where you can see all those picks. Do that now. You'll get a full year for $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from all of our hosts and guests here at VSiN. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our 2025-26 NFL betting guide that will drop on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's B-O-O-K to sign up. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We've got to update you on everything happening across the board when it comes to Major League Baseball, including an angle that Will and I are kicking ourselves for not betting before the start of the show. That's coming your way next. It's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here. It's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Will Hill. We've got you covered here for the next 3 hours on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Baseball all over the place. We'll get into college baseball coming up momentarily in the next segment. Quentin Mills going to join us, NCAAinsiders.com, VSiN contributor. He'll help us understand what's happening with these super regionals at the moment. Couple games ongoing there, 2 yet to come, tickets still being punched. We did have a few punched earlier today with Louisville knocking off Miami, and they'll head to Omaha, as will the Arizona Wildcats, who knock off the North Carolina Tar Heels. And then Murray State earlier today forced a Game 3 Monday in Durham, North Carolina. We'll get a lay of the land when it comes to college baseball in the next segment. But right now, a lot happening in baseball because we're in that crossover period where some of the early games still going on. The later games have begun their window, and the Seattle Mariners have wasted no time getting on the board on the road in Anaheim, Will. It's already 1-0 Seattle, top one out, a runner on second for Seattle as a fly ball is caught by Taylor Ward, and that will stop another run from scoring. But that is Randy Arozarena running back to second base. He knocked in the first RBI of the game with a double. A guy who's been usually good against lefties for his career, not having a great season. Not sure why the offense has dropped off the last couple seasons for Arozarena, but right now looking at that live market, Will, Seattle was laying, $1.29 about 10 minutes ago? They're now laying 186, where you can get plus 141 the other way on the Angels. In-game total still sticking at 9.5.
Yeah, got my eyes on that. Atlanta scratches a run across early. They lead 1-0. They had first and third, nobody out, only able to get a run out of it. Stop me if you've heard of this before. The Rockies are losing. The Colorado Rockies, that 3-game winning streak has not lasted, has not sustained, and the Mets are just getting fat off these Rockies. Last weekend, they won all three. This weekend, they are well on their way up 5-0 to winning all three. So, man, this is just, you can't make the line high enough when it's Rockies Mets. You know, $3, $4, $5, there's just no number. I mean, I guess there is a number, but it's hard to make a realistic number. You say, you know what, I'm gonna bet the Rockies on the money line. Even though they've played a little bit better recently, you know, won the games against the Marlins, were competitive a week or so, 10 days ago, against the Cubs, that Memorial Day week series. They're so bad. And you know, you play these teams, the Mets with a good offense are going to go into Coors and they're going to beat them. not 10 out of 10 times, but 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I mean, it just, it's hard to watch these games and think, you know what, if they played tomorrow, Colorado would win. It's just, they're not going to beat them.
Will, I'm kicking myself because I've strongly considered laying 2.5 runs with the Rockies today at a plus price. Yeah. It was three runs, whatever, same thing. But do you remember we hosted together, it had to be over a month ago, and you asked me, and it was very early in the season, you're like, how, if I set the number at what the White Sox won last year, which I believe is 41 wins, would you go over or under? I was like, under. And you were like, yeah, I hate to agree, but it sounds crazy. What number are we looking at for their final win total then? You can't set the number high enough when it comes to whoever's facing Colorado. This is a AAA ball club. And I'm kind of on an island here, Will, where I'm starting to believe the experiment of baseball in Denver just is never going to work. Because one, no matter who's pitching, they're always at a disadvantage. But two, you're going to have to grossly overpay for pitchers if you're ever going to sign a free agent who can make a difference in your starting rotation if you're the Colorado Rockies. Now, the problem is it's Denver, and it's beautiful, and it's a great ballpark, and it's right there in downtown Denver. So they're always going to draw a crowd no matter what. But at the same time, I think this is an example of, like, why it just doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's not like they've been this bad always. No. I mean, they've had some good teams. They've had some good runs. I know the Rockies, people in, you know, Colorado, people that root for the Rockies, they put a lot of the blame on the ownership. The ownership's not serious, doesn't spend, just a second-rate owner, to put it kindly. So maybe that's part of it. Yeah, it's tough. I see somebody walking off the mound here in this Texas-Washington game. I don't know who that is, but it looks like the starting pitcher walking off here in the 2-1 game in the fourth. Soto just got a base hit. Yeah, it was one of those situations. I was on Friday. I was on Saturday. Like, why not just parlay Mets money line with OKC game 2 money line? That was minus 160, minus 170. It's square. It's chalk, but that's one where you'd be sitting in a nice position if you just kept parlaying, using the Mets over the Rockies in some form or fashion. I know the Rockies led 2-0 pretty late in that game Friday night, but the Mets have just bludgeoned them since. They won that game and then have dominated these two since. So, yeah, Rockies are looking at, like, 36, 37 wins, something like that. It's just, it's hard to make a number low enough. They're so bad.
Yeah, to that point, what I referenced before the end of the last segment, Will, was just start taking the opponents on the money line that are taking on the Rockies and start pairing it with other parlays that are, like, heavy favorites. I'm not a big heavy favorite parlay, but, I mean, even if you just bet the run line on the Rockies against the Rockies this year, you're profitable. That's how bad they are. They're consistently losing by a couple runs every night because it's not like they just don't have starting pitching. They also don't have hitting. They're just an awful baseball team. I don't even know who anyone at the deadline is looking to add on a playoff team off this roster. Like, Ryan McMahon has been such a lackluster player compared to what we thought he was going to be a few years ago. He had a couple good seasons, but there's nobody worth adding from the Colorado Rockies. They are a bad baseball team. And to your point about the Mets, I went Ronnie Mauricio over 1.5 total bases at plus 116 today because he's facing Dollinger, a pitcher who is a AAA pitcher, essentially. Mauricio killed AAA pitching. Thought it was an opportunity to get a plus price on a guy in Coors Field who's starting to come alive, and he already has two hits today, so he's cleared the total bases for me. I'm also on Pete Alonso, who's at the plate right now, over 1.5 total bases, and I feel like this is a spot this today where Pete
he already
can
homered.
Get go. Did he homer today?
Yeah, he already homered, I think.
I know. Oh, he did. You know what? I saw McNeil's homer.
When you hit the ball over the fence, I don't know if you realize it. When you hit the ball over the fence, it's called the home run. You get the runner on the bases. Yeah. It's all the run score, everything.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see his homer. I saw McNeil's homer, and I saw someone else get driven home. But, all right, we cashed two tickets on the Mets and Rockies then. So that's a nice day there when it comes to that game. But big picture, the Rockies, just find ways to use them in other tickets to fade them because this is as bad a baseball team as we've ever seen. The Athletics, threatening. With one on in scoring position on second base against Zugano in the bottom of the first. There are two outs, so a chance for him to work himself out of this. The Braves back up again in the second, up 1-0 in the second there. Let me get you a live number, see how things have adjusted. Minus 194 on the Braves, plus 147 on the Giants. You touched on it early, Will. Braves bullpen's been bad, especially Iglesias on the back end, where I don't think he's the closer anymore there. Plus 141 on the home Giants. I would think about that in this spot. Or If you want to play it safer, maybe +1.5, -128.
The Craig Kimbrel return to the Atlanta Braves will not be picked up by Disney. That will not be a movie ending that we see in the future. He pitches one game, he gets cut the next day. So that was strange. You bring him up for one game in a high leverage spot, and you cut him the next day. I guess he was throwing like 90, 91 miles an hour, which is not going to get it done. So it's been a disaster. I know people want to fire the manager. There's a lot of finger pointing for an Atlanta team with a lot of expectations. A lot of these teams are disappointing. Atlanta, Baltimore, Texas, Boston, Arizona, a bunch of these teams where we would have sat here in February, March, April, say, who do you like? Those are five teams that pretty much everyone would have had, in or around the playoffs that are just not firing here. So it's been very strange in terms of that. Usually baseball, 162 games, the cream rises to the top. You don't get these teams that are expected to win 90-something games that are like the Braves, 9 games under, the Orioles, 11 games under. That's with playing well recently. Very unusual as...
Yep.
Let's see. Is that McNeil? Looks like McNeil hit another home run here for the Mets. That's going to make it 7-0.
Well, that's a good sign for New York if they get his bat going. He's the weirdest baseball reference page. Some years he's a batting title contender. Some years he's barely a utility guy. He's one of my favorite Mets. I love him when he's on. He's awesome. And he started the year injured. So hopefully this gets things going for him. The A's strike first in Sacramento. Soderstrom drives in Butler from second. That is a two-out RBI single for him. And now the A's are up 1-0 with two out in the bottom of the first. Are you betting on
score? I like seeing the fans sitting on the grass in the outfield in that Sacramento stadium. Something cool about that, there's no stands. They're just kind of sitting in the outfield grass over the fence. I like the visual of that. Well, it's like a fun way to watch a game. Well,
they're not sitting in the stands, and based on the way the ballpark plays, it's a great chance to go home with a souvenir if you sit out there. So I totally understand that decision. Are you betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 and you'll claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. All you have to do is head to firstbet.com today. As we mentioned, it's a pretty wild sports day. The Mets are now up 8-0 on the Rockies. So it looks like a discount if you're going to, what were they, -$3 today, something like that, 280, 260, I don't remember, something like that. That looks like a discount compared to what the number is now. They're off the board, 38-1 if you believe the Rockies can come back. 38-1, almost the same as our Jack Caglione AL Rookie of the Year tickets in the futures market. That lets you know where that game is at. But there's a lot going on when it comes to college baseball, and I think there's opportunities to find winning bets. Super regionals are wrapping up today and tomorrow. We'll get a breakdown from Quentin Mills next of what we can expect when these teams go to Omaha. It's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's right, it's Live Bet Sunday. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and we've got action all over the place. And if you're not betting college baseball at this point, don't worry. The College World Series is right around the corner. We'll have you covered here on VSiN with Money Moves and Follow the Money, making their way to Omaha, a place that I got to go one time for the College World Series, and we can reminisce about a little bit later because I had the best steak of my life in Omaha. The Drover, no free ads. I'm not getting any kickbacks here, but the Drover is the best steak I've ever had on the road anywhere. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But first, we got to ask our guy, Quentin Mills, here, who's going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line, about what's going on right now, what's happened earlier today, and what we can expect on Monday, because down in Durham, we're going to have a game 3 between Murray State and the Blue Devils. But first, want to discuss what's happening at the moment. Quentin, Tennessee, the reigning national champs, taking on Arkansas and the Razorbacks while we were in a break on a pass ball with two outs and the bases loaded, just extended their lead to 3-1, -375 favorites. The Vols on the ropes at +270, in-game totals 11.5. Are you surprised with what you're seeing from Arkansas, who was the dog in this matchup today?
I'm not. They've proven time and time again this year. They've corrected last year's offensive woes. the home field advantage. Like it, you just feel like the, not only the fan base, but the team believes in themselves this year. Whereas last year they'd give up a couple of runs and you'd say, here we go again. Can the offense kind of muster it up? And ultimately they couldn't. This year they are getting the timely hits from guys like Davlon, the Aloy brothers, who are just the modern day Super Smash Brothers and Fayetteville. So this team, I mean, I think they're going to ride the wave. I think this is their year to get back to Omaha. They kind of have a trend every 3 to 4 years. They make it back. They were there in 22. They're coming back in 25. So they're kind of staying right on the Dave Van Horn schedule here for Arkansas fans.
Real quick, I want to follow up on Van Horn because I know he had success at Nebraska. Obviously, that's an easy trip, right, to go to Omaha for them. And now he's at Arkansas. What would it mean for a guy like him to finally win that ring where it feels like Arkansas is live to do so should they hold on, hang on, and advance here?
I think it just cements the legacy, right? Like, even without – there's been some great coaches in all sports that maybe have never won their respective title. But Dave Van Horn is just an ultimate class there. The fan base is superior to have him. And, it, you know, the players, too. He produces some of the best players. He's kind of adjusted his game where a lot of older coaches, per se, maybe are stuck in their ways. He's adapting the correct way. And it's showing, right? And I think this year they have a team that could absolutely win it. You know, they had the team against Oregon State that should have locked it up without the infamous foul ball drop. But they've moved past that, and I think this is the year they could get it done.
What are your thoughts here, UCLA, UTSA? I'm watching the game. UCLA's up 2-0 here. DraftKings has this as a scoreless game. Very dangerous when these sports books put the wrong score on the app. That's something you got to clean up. But what were your thoughts going into this game? Is UTSA capable of a rally here?
I know a lot of people were on them. I think it's a great story. Nick Schott is obviously their best pitcher he pitched yesterday, and they just weren't able to kind of muster up any offense against Michael Barnett. Credit to him for throwing a gem. And then you look at the UCLA team. I mean, they're starting to get their swagger back. I mean, we watched them with Trevor Bauer was there and, you know, so many other great players. And that's kind of the team we're starting to see again. They had some bad years, but for them to be able to play at home and get another trip onto Omaha, you know, that means something. It's a personal thing for that program that suffered the last few years in games. And this year, I think they're, you know, UTSA just ran into a team that's desperate to get back to their kind of glory days because they were a blue blood in the sport for so many years. And unfortunately, your road ends there. And I think UCLA is in a great spot to return.
Quentin Mills is our guest, college baseball analyst, NCAA insiders, VSiN contributor at QMilly. It looks like with an extra L and an extra Y in there over on X. Breaking down everything happening in college baseball. We still have two games yet to start today, so let's get your handicap on them. They're big numbers, but it feels like this time of year is usually what we're getting. LSU minus 345, taking on West Virginia plus 250. Totals 15 in that one. Tigers won yesterday 16-9. West Virginia did get to Cade Anderson for 6 earned. They didn't use Chase Meyer and his nasty curve. What do you think of the matchup today?
It's LSU's. I mean, when you have your full bullpen complement for the most part, Anthony Ianson's going to be on the bump. I mean, they're one of the best 1-2 between Anderson and Ianson on a Friday and Saturday or game one, game two in this situation. I actually like them in a parlay piece because they are kind of that hefty number at the 345. Parlay them with tomorrow for Duke, and you'll get them about minus 130. I think, again, we're going to talk about Duke just being a little overpowering. It's a must-win. The program's great under Chris Pollard. Parlay them with LSU. LSU is just too much for West Virginia outside. I mean, they tagged Griffin Kern, and ultimately, as good as the Mountaineers season has been, that's just kind of all they have left in the tank. And playing at Alex Box is second to none and one of the hardest things to do and win at. So I really like let them in a parlay piece.
Quentin, when somebody who doesn't follow college baseball or sees it casually and wants to throw in a bet, says sees a total of 15. Are you inclined to go under because 15 is such a crazy number, or is the 15 telling and that shows you that this is just going to be a ridiculously high-scoring game and you should probably go over? Like, what is the common wisdom, conventional wisdom here when you see a total of 15 like we do in this LSU game?
Yeah, I would say probably more often than not, you're inclined to take the over, right? I mean, there's a thing we separate from Major League Baseball to colleges. There's metal bats and there's things called bullpens at the collegiate level. Those two never go hand in hand. Anything can happen. I mean, you could be in a 3-2 game heading into the eighth, and then next thing you know, it's 11-10. So when I see a 15, it almost inclines me to say take that over, especially when you're having, you know, offenses that can score. West Virginia has done it all year long. LSU is able to put up 15 runs at times by themselves. So this is a spot where they can absolutely get deep in when West Virginia's pitching, and there's no reason that they couldn't cover that number.
Quentin, we do have another game coming up tonight. A trip to Omaha is on the line. You've got Florida State minus 120, taking on Oregon State at minus 110. Total is 12. Beavers won Friday 5-4. Florida State took Saturday 3-1 using Jamie Arnold, a future top 10 pick there. What does today look like for you?
I love Florida State here. I know it's on the road, and I mentioned before, you know, Omaha runs through Corvallis, but if you watch game one and game two, Florida State had most control of the game, especially in game one. That game really, they killed themselves. They ran themselves out of innings with bad base running, just trying to get that extra run or that extra base, and it really hurt. Ultimately, it gives them a loss in the loss column. Fix those stupid mental mistakes up, and they should have no issue. They have the better pitching matchup today in Wes Mendez. They get their guy out of the bullpen, Joe Charles, back after pitching 2 1/3 on Friday. And then you look at Oregon State. They're throwing James DeKramer, which many thought it would be Eric Segura. They do have some bullpen compliments, but over the season, Florida State has continued to show everybody their offense is legit after everybody thought they were going to have a drop-off when Camp Smith and James Tibbs left the program. But it's been nothing less than that. And you know, Alex Lodice has kind of had a little cold spell. I expect him to maybe have a big hit today. You could just name Drew Ferreau, another guy. Bailey, he just seems to always hit the home runs in the big games for them. So I think at minus 120, it's a great line for Florida State to get back to Omaha. They have a chip on their shoulders from last year's check swing. So
I love it. And by the way, since we've been talking, things have gotten out of hand with Tennessee and Arkansas. Razorbacks are up 7-1. Razorbacks are up 7-1. Dave Van Horn has a chance to go to Omaha and go to the College World Series and win a title here. I guess in the final minute and a half here, we've seen underdog stories when it comes to college baseball, right? 08 Fresno State. We've had small schools like Cal State Fullerton have their run where they dominated the sport. Could we have another underdog story this year? If we were going to look and bet on someone to pull this off, is there anyone that jumps out to you that might not be at the top of the betting board?
Well, I don't even know if you could consider them an underdog after the season they've had, but Coastal Carolina, right? 2016 national champs. Their program has three elite pitchers as a rotation. Some teams don't even have three pitchers total in their pitching staff that you can rely on. They have one of the better bullpens in the country. They have one of the best catchers in Caden Bodine, just the ultimate leader. And then they have other guys. You know, Pato steps up for them in a big way coming off the bench due to injury. You know, you look at Bartol and you look at, you know, guys like Ty Dooley. Like, they just have guys that are it factors. They play for each other. And they have a coach that was there for the 2016 team and Kevin Schnall on the assistant staff. Now it's his team. They're so good. I mean, you could probably replace them in the ACC with the team and they'd have success. Coastal Carolina, to me, is starting to turn into the closest thing to what a blue blood would be in the sport of baseball. Conway, South Carolina, is producing some of the best teams, and they have a great run, especially with North Carolina out on that side of the bracket.
It's great stuff. He is Quentin Mills. Check him out over at NCAA Insiders. Of course, VSiN, college baseball contributor, and at Q Millie over on X. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. I'm sure we'll chat again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Little bit of juice when it comes to the College Baseball World Series. It's picking up steam. It builds year over year. That's why we're going to send Mitch and Paul, Stormy and JVT, out to Omaha. They're storming Omaha. Too soon, right after D-Day? Should I not have done that? Oh, well. Too late. Came out of my mouth already. All right, we have a lot to talk about here. We're just going to move on. From one sand to the other, the dirt in baseball. We'll update you because the Baltimore Orioles have tied things up in Sacramento. Updates from across Major League Baseball. And we'll give an early look ahead. Game two of the NBA Finals is tonight. Could Jalen Williams be the X factor for the Thunder? All of that and more on the other side of Live Bet Sunday.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it again. It's Live Bet Sunday. This is VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill taking you through the afternoon action here as in Sacramento. The Athletics have taken the lead once again, now up 2-1 on the visiting Baltimore Orioles. Live number has the A's, minus 198 favorites, plus 150 the other way on the O's. 11.5 is your in-game total there. In San Francisco, Matt Olson is mashing. A double off the wall. He's driven in three runs. Austin Riley with a couple hits. And the Braves lead the Giants 3-1 in that game with Spencer Strider on the bump. Strider and the Bravos, minus 329 on the money line, plus 236 if you think San Francisco can come back. In-game total at 9.5. Seattle is currently up 1-0 on the Angels, and they are threatening. Nobody on, two in scoring position, and the number four hitter, Mitch Garver, at the plate. If he does any damage, we'll keep you updated on that. And everything else happening when it comes to Major League Baseball. Will, there's a big game tonight, though, that we have yet to touch on here on the show, and that is Game 2 of the NBA Finals, where Game 1, a lot of us are eating crow because we all expected Oklahoma City to run wild, take care of business at home, and they end up losing outright in one of the more miraculous NBA Final games you're ever going to see. The Pacers come back to win 111-110. This run continues for Indiana as they've pulled off four wins now with a less than 5% win probability late in the game. It's been crazy. It feels like it's just they're here. They're a team of destiny. Are you buying into the hype that Indiana can keep doing this and getting away with it?
I'm buying into the fact that these comebacks cost me a lot of money. So, I can't afford to not buy into it at this point. I had Nixon 7, that comeback in game one hurt me, and that was what pretty much prevented from a seven-game series. And then I had OKC to sweep plus 330. I thought I got a good number. I thought OKC would go up 2-0, and then I could figure out in games 3 and 4, you know what, take Indy plus the points, let it ride. I could figure out what to do with that ticket. Man, OKC and Indy, it's fascinating. Indy, I'll take it from their perspective, man. If we saw this in a sports movie, all of these comebacks, we'd all laugh and say these writers, whoever wrote this movie, doesn't watch sports because this doesn't happen in real life. Like, this is just ridiculous. Down 7 with 30 seconds left, down 15 in the final minutes against the Knicks the other night. Felt like OKC for the most of the game was going to win the game by 15, 20 plus points. Indy just kept turning over. They just continue to come up with these comebacks. I don't think they're going to win tonight. I think OKC will be a little bit more buttoned up, but I'm not looking to lay the 11 against this Pacers team. No chance I'm looking to lay the 11. I understand the case for it where, you know, OKC blew game one in similar fashion to Denver and then came out and just ran them out of the gym. But Indy, they don't have this satisfaction. When they steal game one on the road, they don't have the satisfaction that other teams have where you see them kind of punt in game two mentally where, all right, we get run out of the gym. We'll see in game three where we have home court now. Indy won game one in Cleveland and rallied back to win game two in Cleveland. Indy won game one in New York and they won game two in New York. So Indy doesn't have that mentality. Carlisle's a great coach. Maybe OKC wins the game by 20 or 30 points. And I'm just not laying 11 points against this OKC team. If I was going to make any bet, it would be the team total over for OKC at 120.5. I thought they were just a little slow getting into their offense on Thursday night in game one. They were just, you know, you look up and there was 13-12 on the shot clock and they really were just standing around, walking the ball. I think they'll play with a little more pace. If Indy turns it over as much, I think OKC will be better in transition. Indy's transition defense was really good. So I'm not looking to lay the 11. If anything, it would be over 120.5. I could see the over 228.5 too. Game one, there's some nerves. Game one, there's a feeling out process. I know that Indy did shoot 46, 47% from three. So you worry about that correcting, but look, they had the turnover. So not laying the 11. If I had to take it or lay it, I guess I would take it. I think OKC wins. I don't know. I said a lot there. What do you agree with, disagree with? What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I just don't anticipate Oklahoma City looking bad the way they did. And really only looked bad late in the game, right? They dominated for the most part. For whatever reason with Indiana, and maybe this is a big picture epidemic around the league, we're seeing these crazy comebacks, right? We saw it with the Knicks, right, against the Celtics. We saw it with the Pacers and the Knicks. They've all had these crazy down 15, down 20, whatever it may be, and they come back and win the game. I think we're not looking at the other team, the team that's losing the lead, as much as we are celebrating the team that's winning. Teams, and you and I did a lot of live betting shows in the NFL season. Teams, for whatever reason right now, don't know how to play with a lead. Analytics teach these teams how to get a lead, where their edges are, but somehow things seem to change whenever teams have a lead and they go away from what's working and they don't know how to use the clock to their advantage. And that's been an issue here for teams. And part of why Oklahoma City found themselves in the situation they were in with the Pacers coming back late in that one. The Pacers have not been good for 46 minutes in these games that they've won. They've been amazing for 2 minutes. That just shouldn't be sustainable. I can't buy that that's just going to be in their back pocket whenever they have it against a team like OKC. But my big problem with the Thunder, Will, and it's why I question them, and I didn't fall in love with them until recently. And now since I fell in love with them, they've come back the other way and let me down. But late in games, if SGA is not going, who can they rely on? Who can create their own shot? Who's a go-to reliable weapon to hit clutch buckets? SGA has been it. That's why he's the MVP of the league. Everyone else is super inconsistent. One of them is Jalen Williams. He met with the media the other day, and he talked about the pressure that exists when you're in an NBA Finals like this down 0-1.
Just try and think of myself as somebody that's very uncommon. I don't ever think that I'm in my third year, because then that allows me to make excuses. So I usually just go out there and play. Pressure is a privilege, so I enjoy being counted on and doing that. And I just think I've been counted on since, I feel like, last year, to be totally honest, just in regards to like being there for two and the rest of the guys. And now we're here in the finals, so I don't really see it that much different. But I never really look and I'm like, oh, it's only my third year. I just think the only time I really think about that is just like there's so much more I can do and how much stuff I can get better at. But I never really try and use it as this is my third year and try and use it as an excuse. You know what I mean?
Jalen Williams, to me, Will, is crucial for Oklahoma City. Last three losses in the playoffs for the Thunder, he had 17 points in game one. He had 13 points in game three against Minnesota. And he had 6 points in game six against Denver. That's not getting it done. He is their second most reliable scoring weapon. When he's getting shots and hitting his shots, they're a different team. When he plays like he did the other night, where he's okay, not great, they will lose basketball games. To against a team like Indiana, who especially in the fourth quarter, because their nature is to run up and down, they're not gassed like some of these other teams are in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma City. That pressure that the defense creates, Indiana's ready to go score right away. This is what they do to everyone else. They're not going to not have their legs under them. If Oklahoma City's going to get into a track meet of sorts with Indiana, who can hang late in games, Jalen Williams is going to have to get his. That's why I went over on his 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined. And you mentioned team totals. I like the Pacers under team total, 108.5. I went back and looked, Will. Awful loss. The Thunder have allowed 106, 87, 93, and 126 in the postseason. So that's under in three of four of this 108.5. I think they clamp down on the Pacers. I think those passing lanes for Halliburton that were there later, the driving lanes and opportunities won't be there. And because of that, Indiana will lose, will even the series, and they will not be able to get their offense going like they were late in game one.
Did you have an issue with Holmgren only playing 23 minutes and no. Hartenstein only playing 17?
I had an issue with Holmgren because I bet on his points and rebounds, and I'm going to go back to the well again. VSiN.com/picks for all that. He was horrible. He was horrible, and the frustrating part is this game fits his style, right? Because one thing he brings to the defensive end, it doesn't show up in the box score. It's the idea, the presence of Holmgren and his length, his ability to block shots. That protects some of those drives to the lane that Indiana was able to get. And he's a versatile weapon on both ends of the floor. Hartenstein is interesting to me. I had over his rebounds in game one. It went over. I don't know how much he plays in game two. But to me, it's similar to Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks, right? Where he can dominate one aspect of the game. I think the Thunder need to find a way to get him on the floor more. I'd love to see that. But I think Oklahoma City wins. But I cannot lay 11 points against a team like Indiana with what they're able to do late in these games. Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play Circa Survivor or the Circa Millions contest for free this season? Well, Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. And get this, you'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. All you have to do is go visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. And we've got runs being scored all across the place right now. The A's are breaking my heart by plating a few while we were talking about the NBA Finals. They're up 4-1 on the Orioles. Mariners still lead 1-0. The Braves up on the Giants 3-1. In the 6, it's the Rangers 3, the Nationals 2, and the Mets are dominating the Colorado Rockies. When we return, more when it comes to Major League Baseball and a future ticket that I'm trying to convince Will to join me on at 33-1. That's next on Live Bet Sunday.